And now, The Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray guest hosting. To call Phil, dial 855-500-7445. And now, Margaret Gray.
Thank you very much, and I know this is a little bit of a surprise for a lot of you, for me to be guest hosting, although Phil has had on, in the past, people that have guest hosted on his program. But I demanded, and I'm going to be very clear on this, I want you to be very clear, I don't want you to think that Phil surrendered his seat as host of this program through any feeling of disinterest. I demanded to be heard tonight. I demanded from David G. Hall, who's the vice president of syndication, and does not have actual programming control. Phil does, and David will be on in a moment to explain that. I demanded that I be heard. And the reason why I demanded to be heard is because tonight, as it was indicated on the homepage of the Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, where, by the way, you can watch me as I perform, if you will, or as I address the audience tonight by way of a video cast, we are on a slut hunt. Now,
what's that?
And what I told you not to say anything, didn't I?
You told me not to say anything, man. I'm sorry.
I told you not to say. A lot of you are used to hearing Bud and hearing Robert, and I said to both of them tonight, and I say that with great respect and love, I don't want either one of you saying anything to me except off the air. Is that understood?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
All right. So you don't get to jump in and say the things you do usually when Phil is here. That's how he does it. I'm going to do it a different way. You understand that? Don't nod. Just
yes, ma'am.
There you go. Robert?
Yeah, I do.
General Galen Shaw, by the way, for those of you who have enjoyed his comments, and I have enjoyed them, I've asked the general if he wouldn't mind relaxing in our green room where we have a fireplace. We have a beautiful widescreen TV, and he is having a snack.
You want me to?
Yes, you can talk now.
He's having Nilla wafers.
Nilla wafers, what are those?
Well, that's vanilla wafer.
All right, so the general's having his vanilla wafers. Is that all he's having?
Yeah, he's having vanilla wafer, and then he has wine coolers that he likes.
Yeah, he likes bottles and James.
Yeah. See, I didn't ask. Right. Thank you for both of your comments. I was talking to Bud, so you...
I'm sorry. I thought you wanted me to...
No, I don't want you to... When I look at one of you, that means...
Is there something wrong?
No, there's nothing wrong. I know the audience is overhearing all of this, and I thought I'd made this clear. In any event, Melissa Bachman is a woman who, if you are looking at this photograph on the homepage of the Phil Henry website, or you can go to just about any news source today, you're looking at a woman, I don't know, I'd put her in her 30s, with a high-powered scope rifle. She is sitting and resting herself against the dead body of a beautiful male African lion, a gorgeous gold-in-color African lion. A proud animal, a beautiful animal, far more beautiful than anything Melissa Bachman will ever be in her life, will ever create in her life, will most likely ever endear herself to in her life. This animal was, and let me underline the word, murdered by Melissa Bachman. I'm outraged, and I know a great many of you are. Now, I don't know Melissa Bachman, as my husband Frank likes to say. I don't know her if I were to trip over her in the dark. I wouldn't know her if she were screaming from the top of a burning building looking for someone to hold a trampoline or what they... What's the thing, Robert, that they use?
Well, it looks like a trampoline, yeah.
Well, it's not a trampoline.
Why not?
You're not going to have someone jump from a burning building onto a trampoline.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's like a...
Can I say something?
No, you may not. No. Go ahead.
It's like a net.
It's not a net either. It looks like a trampoline. But if it were a real trampoline, they would fall.
And they'd bounce back up to the top of the building.
Yes, they'd fall, hit the trampoline, and bounce to the top of the building, and they're right back where they started, which sounds absolutely ridiculous. So I don't think it is. But were Melissa Bachmann on top of a building, and it was on fire, and she was screaming for help, I would take as much time helping her as I would any slob. And I say that with great love and respect for all of my fellow men, but she doesn't have any special currency with me, as I'm sure she doesn't with you. She's a young woman, misguided, born and raised in Minnesota. Now, let's talk a little bit about this. I know a great many Minnesotans. They are wonderful people. It's a very progressive state. It's an agricultural state with a great business base in its large center, its business center, which is the Twin Cities, Minneapolis-St. Paul, a very populous metropolitan area. In the outlying regions, you have farming, the mining of mineral resources, fishing, and yes, for sport, hunting. And every young Minnesotan in some way, shape, or form is exposed to hunting and fishing as a part of the great, as they call it, great Northwestern tradition. Minnesota, as you may imagine, at one time represented the Northwest of the United States. We had not yet expanded to the Pacific Coast.
Really? Man, she told you.
I told you.
Oh, sorry.
I told you not. So she grew up in this environment, and she's got that strike against her. Strike number two, her last name is Bachmann. I think we all know what that represents. It isn't good. It isn't progressive. It doesn't bring us together. It doesn't heal. It does not salve. It does not cool down. It does not ice down. What that name Bachmann does is inflame, infect, blister.
Smell. Man, she told you to shut up, man.
If you don't shut up, I'm going to... But as long as you said it, Bud, I'll say it. Yes, smell. Stink. This is what this woman and that name has brought to our lives here in this country and elsewhere. Tonight, on The Slut Hunt, I'll be speaking with David G. Hall. Phil Henry will join me as well. My husband, Frank Gray, Dean Wheeler, Jack Armstrong, and other great voices, I think, of reason, that have appeared from time to time on the panel here on The Phil Henry Show. And we'll also take a modicum of phone calls from those of you in our studio audience, not our studio audience, in our listening audience tonight. I'm Margaret Gray. I am very, very grateful that you have tuned in this evening. I'm going to be using tonight for bumper music. I love this. I hope you do too. This is Glenn Campbell. By the time... We'll be right back here on The Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray filling in. I get to Phoenix. It'll be working. Oh no, it'll be rising. She'll find the note I left hanging. And welcome back here. This is The Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray. I love this. Of the harbor. And I will be, this evening, I'll try to work in some songs that I think are appropriate for what we're talking about tonight. What we're talking about, and again, I am filling in for Phil Henry, not because he's sick, not because Phil is under the weather or is otherwise engaged. It's because I demanded, after seeing the picture of this female, this hunter, over the body of that gloriously beautiful lion, I went to David G. Hall and I said, I simply must be on the air this evening. And he did allow this to happen. Now, I have in the offing, General Galen Shaw is joining us right now. He was in our green room, as I indicated, and the general was enjoying what...
Yes, I had vanilla wafers, Bartles and Jame, and I also love the graham crackers, but that's not the point.
Well, this is what we were talking about. I said to General Shaw, I hunted as a young lady.
Yes, you said you hunted as a young lady. And what firearm did you use?
I don't remember, General. It was a long gun of some kind.
Well, see, that's what I mean. If you can't even remember, was it a rifle or was it a shotgun?
It was a gun that... I'm not going to answer these technical questions. It was a long time ago. But I can assure you that I hunted as a young lady, as a girl, with my father. And I said to my father, I told the General this story, I believe we were out hunting some kind of a bird. It was dove or quail, something very, very much symbolic to me of innocence and purity. And I told my father that I would not do it.
Now, I want everyone to listen to this story because I consider this to be almost psychotic.
Yes, I know. You already said that.
I did not say it on the air, though.
Well, listen and see if you don't agree with me. My father said, let's go, Margaret, and hunt quail. And that's when I aimed the shotgun at his knee, not at his groin, as was reported.
Well, you know, I looked it up. I have to tell you, that is an absolutely antisocial, psychopathic thing to do.
No, you can't call me psychopathic when he's out murdering dove.
You said you aimed the shotgun at your father's knee.
Yes.
I heard that it was, and the very crude way that it was put to me by your husband Frank, because I talked to Frank, he said it was ball level. Now, what does that mean?
You know exactly what that means, and I won't repeat that. It's crude and rude and vulgar. And Frank, I know you're coming on the program. If you're listening, I'm very, very disappointed in you.
But let's talk about this. You refused to kill that. Your father directed you to kill a dove that was eating... what was it eating?
It was eating bird seed on a wall. And it was sitting there, and it had not attempted to fly away. And I had given it the bird seed.
And what did your father say?
He said, perfect opportunity. Now give it what for? And I said, Father. And he said, all right, let me show you how. Both barrels. Now, are you not supposed to eat dove?
I beg pardon?
Are you supposed to eat dove?
Yes, that's why people go dove hunting to eat it.
Well, and you're supposed to be able to have some kind of... Aren't you supposed to have some of the dove?
Well, yes. So what are you telling me, that your father unloaded both barrels and blew the thing into... there was no dove to speak of?
There were feathers. There might have been a beak.
You know something? You're making a big joke out of this. And I can tell you...
No, I'm not making a joke, General. I'm saying my father unloaded two barrels into a dove and then said, let's eat. And then went, ha, ha, ha. And I said, you know what? Take this, all of these shotgun shells. I love you, Father, but I want you to go ahead and pack these up your blankety-blank. That's when he slapped me. That's when I took his car keys and I ran home.
Well, you sound to me, Margaret, like a little girl that was very difficult to handle and antisocial in every way.
Why am I antisocial when I don't want to kill a dove?
It wasn't that you didn't want to kill the dove. It was that you lowered both barrels of a shotgun, and I'm quoting Frank, ball level.
Frank doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, he said he got the story from you.
Well, he is lying to me. Lying to you, if that's what he said.
Well, best thing to do is get him on the phone.
Well, are you going to do that, Bud?
Can I talk?
Yeah, when I look at you, remember what I said.
She said, when she looks at you, you can talk.
Oh, okay.
When I look at you...
Yeah, but you looked at me one time, and I didn't say nothing.
Why are you saying something now?
Because you looked at me just now.
I looked at you, but I didn't look at you like, hey, Robert, I'm about to ask you something. I looked at you because you had your finger up... You had your finger up near your nose.
You know, Margaret, you're not going to get through this evening unless you just give people the right to go to the nose if they need to, go to an ear.
Really? What about going to the crack of their you-know-what? Because that's what this one's been doing.
I'm sorry. It was an itch that I was not aware of at the time.
Yeah.
It was an itch you weren't aware of. Oh, God.
Well, Miss Gray, please.
I'm not looking at you. I looked at him.
You're not looking at me, but I'm talking.
Yeah, well, I give you due respect because you're a member of the military. Let me just say this, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to get Frank Gray on the phone. Frank and I have been married for a great many years, 40 years, and I love Frank. And, Frank, darling, how are you?
Yeah.
Frank, we're talking about when I told you about I was out hunting with my father.
Yeah, with Ray, with my father-in-law.
Yes. And I said that I took the shotgun and aimed it at his knee.
Oh, that's not what I heard, Margaret, from you. You said you aimed it at her testicles, and that she was standing there, and you said, "Father, I know not what I do," or some kind of biblical bullcrap.
No, it wasn't biblical. I had written the line so that it would sound good because it was going to be a big moment in my life. I said, "Father, I dare not," something, I know it ended with a T-H, "Father, I doth not," that's it, "I doth not do what I shan't."
Oh, for God's sake. Margaret, I don't know what you said to her, but you said that you pointed it right at her testicles.
No, I did not. That is an absolute lie. You know that? Do you remember me saying that, or were you just assuming that because I lowered the shotgun to that area of the body?
Well, when you told me that you'd lowered the barrels, you said that you lowered them, and she's standing there telling you to go ahead and shake hands with that dove, and you were ready to, and then she said, "Go ahead, Margaret, shake hands with it," and you said that reminded you of the date you'd had with Barry Walker that night, right?
Yes.
And that's why you went ahead and pointed both barrels at her crotch.
No, that's no, you blithering, Frank, I love you, but you're a blithering idiot. No, I never said that. I said I pointed it at his knee as a gag, and I said, "Father, I doth not do what I shan't." And that's when I took the car keys and I ran.
So you weren't prepared to open up on her?
Of course I was. What are you, who do you think you married? And why would you marry me if you thought that that was a true story?
Well, maybe I liked it. Have you ever thought about that? No, you haven't given...
Are you kidding me?
I'm partially kidding, but by the same token, you can't reasonably tell me a story like that and expect me to feel good about you. I don't care if you didn't point it at her, at wherever you pointed it on her. Here's your father, and she's standing there. Your father is taking you hunting. And she's giving you the shotgun, and she's giving you everything that you would need. And she says, "Now go ahead, there's a dove, and it's eating that bird seed, perfect time to turn that thing, didn't you say, into dove tartar, or whatever it was?"
No, he said, turn it into tartar, not dove tartar.
So she says, "Go ahead, shake hands with it, and we'll put it on a piece of toast." And what happened? What happened was, you point the both barrels, not at the dove, but
at her knee. I mean, his knee.
Who?
At his knee.
Right, at her knee. And that's when you said you grabbed the keys and ran like a... Well, you said you ran like a bitch, and I said that's because you were. And that's when you hit me, playfully, though.
Well, what... All right, so in other words, Frank, I've got the story right. You don't.
I don't know half the time when you're telling me about... You gotta understand, General, every time he tells me something...
Believe me, I can tell you, I've had my experiences.
Oh, you have?
Every time he tells me, I love him. He's a beautiful woman and a great wife. But every time he talks to me about his father and talks about how she took him hunting and she, you know, told him to turn the dove into something you can spread on toast... Or on a cracker, what did he say?
No, I said a wheat thin.
Okay.
Well, what do you mean a wheat thin? I don't understand this line of questioning.
What do you mean questioning?
I mean, I'm sorry, I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm saying that his father said, "Go ahead, Margaret, shake hands with that dove," which is hunter talk, if you know, for blow that thing into another life.
Exactly.
All right. And then make that a nice, even spread. I thought you said a Triscuit.
I never said Triscuit. I never said toast. I said wheat thin.
Oh, all right. So it was... All right, I understand.
Right. Not that it's a big issue, but...
Yeah, no, as a matter of fact, it doesn't... It's... Thank you very much, Frank. We have to take a break. In fact, it doesn't have anything to do with anything. My father, who I love... Does that answer your question, General?
Well, Margaret, it answers my question, but I still think that any time you drop a weapon on a man, as you did your own father, even if you are joking, I think it takes it takes a pair, even on a little girl, to do that, and I think you needed to have some kind of counseling.
Well, thank you very much, General, for your opinion, but as you well know, your opinion and 50 cents, it isn't going to get me across the street for a meatball sandwich. Thank you so very deeply. We'll be right back. I'm Margaret Gray. I'm playing some of my favorite hits that I'll be singing a little later on here on the program. This is The Sun Ain't Gonna Shine Anymore by the Walker Bras. By the Walker Brothers. I'm sorry, the Walker Brothers. Do-do-do. Welcome, everyone, back to the Phil Henry Show, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray, and it is my great pleasure to... Oh, I love this song, too. Do you know this one? Walking with you, woo-woo. Anyway, we're going to do some singing later on, and I did, very briefly, I toyed with, as I like to do, as many of you know, and as I have said on this program, I wrote the song... In the Ghetto, that I was so very deeply honored that Elvis Presley performed. And I knew then that I had a hankering. I forget what the word, what is, Robert, I'm looking directly at you. What is the word?
You had a talent?
Yes, I had a talent for it. I was going to say something else.
Get a hankering for it.
I wasn't looking at you.
You know, I can't talk, man, unless she's looking at you.
Bud, hold on. Margaret, may I?
Go ahead.
Bud, only talk when she's looking at you.
She looked at my neck.
That's not looking at your eye. If I look at your neck, I'm not looking at you. Humans are looking at each other when they make eye contact. Eye contact.
Yeah, that is correct, Bud. It has to be eye contact. That's when we communicate with our eyes.
All right, well, she said looking at me. And technically, if you're looking at my neck, and I think you looked at my belly button or something...
I was probably lost in thought, and my eyes were wandering.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
So only if I make eye contact.
Well, it was close to my eyes.
Bud, are you listening to what I'm saying?
Bud, just do as she asks, and we can get out of this show tonight in one piece.
What does that mean?
Nothing at all. I'm not trying to say anything, Margaret. I'm trying to get us through this show tonight until Phil gets back.
Oh, until Phil gets back. Let me bring on David G. Hall. That's cute. That's very cute. David G. Hall is the Vice President of Syndication for the Phil Henry Show. David, did you hear that?
Yeah, I did hear it, and I do respect General Hall, and I think he's a terrific man. But General, I think you need to, as they didn't they say back when you were in Vietnam, flush out your headgear.
Sir, whatever they said, I can assure you it wasn't said by you, because I don't think I saw you over there.
Well, you wouldn't have seen me because I was only 8 years old. Oh.
Well, that may well be then, but the fact is, I think that kind of terminology is reserved for those of us who had our blankety blank in the grass, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think that's fair, General.
All right, well, look, what I want to address is what Margaret brought me on for, and that's why Phil Henry is not on the air tonight. It's not through any fault of Phil's, but Margaret felt very passionate about this woman, Melissa Bachman, who shot that lion, and she demanded... to get on the air, and I have to tell you, I was very impressed with her passion. I was very impressed with the need that she had to get on the air and talk about this issue.
All right, now may I ask a question?
No, not yet.
General, hold on.
Now, I called Phil, and I said if he'd like to come on the air and express his opinion, and he said yes, he would, and I said to him, I didn't anticipate that you'd actually say yes. I'd rather that you not. And he said whatever he said, and I said, okay, thank you very much. So he's not here.
All right.
Well, now, hold on for just a minute. That's not the same thing as a man saying, I don't want to be. Did he say he didn't want to be here?
Yes, he did.
Well, that's what David, in so many words, said.
No, he did not. David said that he called Phil and said, would you like to be on the air? And Phil said, yes, I would. And David said, I didn't anticipate you'd say yes. And then you said a few more things, and then he said, no, he doesn't want to be on the air?
That's exactly what happened.
Well, I don't believe that, sir. I think what you're doing...
Well, General, you know, I'm not going to open this up, for discussion.
You looked in my eyes.
I did by mistake. I did, oh, God.
Yeah, I get to say something. You're not treating Mr. Henry fair on account of everything.
Yeah, you did look in his eyes.
But I didn't look at your eyes, did I?
No.
Then how about clamming it up for me, Robert?
Sorry.
These guys, you can only talk when she looks at your eyes. Do you understand that?
She's not talking. When she's not looking at my eyes, I'll tell you that.
I understand, but you're a war veteran.
I do that out of respect to you, General. You can speak when you want to, but I'd appreciate it, because of your age, that you keep your comments as clear as you can and that you don't ramble.
Oh, I see, because I may ramble on and drool and generally make an embarrassing spectacle of myself because of my age. Is that it?
No, I didn't say that.
You didn't say that.
But you almost want... You want to say that.
What?
Never mind. Look, can I say something?
No, yes, go right ahead, please, because I know I won't get a straight answer out of any of you.
I'm saying this. I'm saying that Phil can come on if he, you know...
Okay, you just looked at me.
Yes, I did look at you.
Can I call Phil and have him come on?
David?
What are you doing? You know...
Aha, so you don't want him on because he may say something to embarrass you.
Okay, bring him on.
I'm going to call him up right now.
Yes, all right, so Bud's calling him, and you just said I'm going to call him up right now, even though I hadn't looked at your eyes. When are you two going to get the word on this?
It's kind of hard to remember.
What's hard to remember? If I don't look at you... Oh.
Yeah, Phil? Phil?
What did you do? Did you hang up on David?
Yeah. We don't need him. Phil? Hey, Phil, wake up. Bud, yeah. Gonna come on? Yeah, okay. Right now? Okay. Uh-huh. 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 Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh.
Would you please put him on the air? Yes, Phil?
Yeah.
Were you asleep?
Yes, I was. I was taking a nap.
It sounds like you're in your car.
Yeah, now I'm in my car.
Well, when were you taking the nap?
Bud just woke me up a few seconds ago. And I said I gotta get in my car. I'm going out of the store.
Really? What are you buying?
I don't know. Maybe some cantaloupe. What do you guys want?
Well, I thought I'd give you the opportunity to explain...
Oh, I'm sure you've explained, Margaret. I don't have any, you know, I'm not going to be able to explain. You've probably explained it all to everybody that, you know, you're feeling very passionately about this bitch. You know that I agree with you on this.
I understand that you agree with me, but I think that I could more passionately express myself on this issue. And, of course, the other.
Oh, here we go. Because I was drinking tequila on Saturday night.
I don't know whether or not you are capable of going on the air today. That's all I'm saying. I think that these Saturday night drink fests may be wearing you down, and...
Well, they're not wearing me down. I was ready to go on the air. You called up David. He called me up. He said, you want to go on the air? I said, yes, I do. He said, well, no, you don't. I said, yes, I do. He said, no, you don't. I said, no, you don't. And he said, yes, you do. And I said, yes, I do. And then he said, no, you don't.
You see what I'm saying? You're babbling on.
No, that's exactly what happened. And that's exactly why he used that as an excuse to say that I, you know, am not on the air, because he said that I agreed to it when I didn't.
Yeah, I know I can do that, Phil.
Did she look you in the eye?
No, she didn't.
Yeah, see what's going on here? Do you really want to be on the air tonight with these people not even adhering to my instructions?
Well, I don't give them those instructions, so they can talk whenever they want.
Well, I told him to only talk when he looks me, when I look him in the eye.
When he look you in the eye, that's when he can talk.
That's not what I said, when I look him in the eye.
Well, you're giving yourself more handicaps than you need. But you go ahead, you talk about this Melissa What's-Her-Face, and have a nice night. I just think that it's wrong that I wasn't given a chance. I don't know.
Phil, this is your opportunity to sit on your ass and do whatever you want tonight. I'm doing this show because I feel strongly about this and because I don't think you can handle the nuance of this. And I'm also able to bring to the program tonight a much-needed poetic feel by singing these songs.
Well, I don't think you're singing, Margaret.
Yeah, go ahead. If you want to lose the use of what little use you still have for it, go ahead.
Never mind.
Yeah. Phil Henry, ladies and gentlemen, and boy, that was rude. God almighty.
Well, you let yourself in for it by, you know, putting him on the air.
I didn't let myself in for him saying that my singing and then quiet because he knew what he was about to say was... This is Margaret Gray. I'm talking tonight about this woman, Melissa Bachman, who shot the lion. She shot the lion because that's how she gets her kicks. She shot the lion because that's what makes her happy. She shot the lion so she could pose with the body of this dead, beautiful creature. She's a psychopath, and because she's a psychopath, she has no empathy. She doesn't know that people will hate her forever by posing with this magnificent animal, now dead, as she sits there with her braided hair and her high-scope rifle and her ugly necklace and her cheap tank top and her cheap underwater watch. And now I'd like to sing a song about her based on the song By the Time I Get to Phoenix. By the time I get to Phoenix, I'll feel guilty. I'll feel bad because I blew away that cat. Do 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 2-3-2-3. I'll feel bad. Well, you know how it goes, and we're still working on it, myself and Archibaldo Nimitz and Clarence Gomez. So we're going to have a, I think we'll have a very, very nice song by the time the weekend rolls around and we're able to roll it out for our, for the audience there at the Ham Hock. We're playing another set there. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Margaret Gray. We'll be back with Harvey Wireman and others. Oh, we have Dean Wheeler as well, as we continue talking about the dead lion and this thing, this woman with the cheap underwater watch that shot the animal and now has a big crap-eating grin on her face because she gets her cheap kicks killing things. And this is Margaret Gray. I'm filling in for Phil Henry this evening on The Phil Henry Show. I'm very grateful that you've joined me. It's been an eventful first hour of the program. I think I've been in, or let in, if you will, for more criticism than is necessary. I did indeed request that I take this evening's show from Phil. My understanding was that he did agree to that. Now, what I just heard Phil say was a variety of things, all reflecting a general dissatisfaction with the state of affairs. I will do my very best, Phil. I will do my yeoman best to take care of your program this evening. I'm actually out of the corner of my left eye. I'm looking at you, bud, so you can say, what do you want?
Hey, you're only looking with one eye.
I'm using my left eye to look at a special on Lady Bird Johnson. And I'm using my right eye to look at you.
Well,
What is the problem? No. I don't have what's called wonk eye. No, I'm not.
You a walleye?
I am not a walleye. I resent that. I am paying attention. And by the way, I wasn't looking at you.
Robert, I was going to say, she wasn't looking at you.
Well, yes, she was. She had one eye looking.
I had one eye, not literally, but I'm looking at Bud and looking at the TV. I don't have three eyes. So that if I had three, never mind.
Margaret, I think you should let this go because it's loaded with jokes.
What has that got to do with anything?
It's loaded with jokes. You're going to have one-liners about you having walleye.
I don't have walleye. Never mind.
Well, you're looking at me, and then you're looking over at the wall. That's the walleye.
No, it's not walleye or fisheye.
I don't have either one. Let me tell you something. I had a cousin that had fish eyes. One eyeball went off to the... It skewed right. And it was something that... She was a very lovely girl, but I remember saying, thank God that isn't me. There but for the grace of God, go I. And she said, what do you mean by that, Margaret? I said, never mind. And I said, let's go off and play some volleyball, Goldie.
What's Goldie?
Well, for goldfish, but I didn't mean it.
Yeah, see, that's very bad.
That's dirty pool, and that's the kind of cruelty that children visit on each other.
All of a sudden, all three of you are talking, and I haven't looked at any of you.
What about if one eyeball did?
I don't... Thank you very much. Shut up. I want to bring on the program now Dean Wheeler. Dean is a very dear friend. He's been... I'll tell you this about Dean. He's been there when there's been no one. He's been there when there has literally just been no understanding voice from the left to see my way clear. He's talking to us tonight, as fate would have it, from the Pike Mall in Northern California as in the fish, Dean?
At the Pike Fish, as a matter of fact, that's right, and Emerald is with me, and we're doing a little bit of Thanksgiving shopping this evening, and it's looking to be a very good Thanksgiving. There's a lot of people here in the mall.
Dean, you know why I'm on the air this evening. Can you give me your impressions when you first saw that woman with the lion?
Margaret, I saw that picture, and I wanted to vomit. I wanted to vomit. I don't think that this is a political issue of right or left at all. I think this is a human issue.
Very well said.
It really is. It's an issue having to do with whether you are in favor of the lion or her. And I look at that picture and I'm torn because she's a beautiful young woman, but the lion is doing much worse than she is. I'm not prepared. I'm sorry. I knew that you were calling me, and I thought I was going to prepare notes, but then I thought I'd wing it, and my wife said wing it, and now I'm winging it. I don't think...
All right. Well, what do you mean wing it?
Well, I'm ad-libbing, and it's not very good. Can I start again?
Yes, please do.
I'm sorry. I'm displeasing you.
No, just start again. Go ahead.
All right. When I look at the lion, and I look at her, and I look at the lion, and then I look at her, I want to like her... And I do. I like her physically, but I don't like what she represents with that rifle and that cheap look that she's got. You said that this was a slut hunt, and I was torn because on any given night, like any man in this country, a slut can be your friend or it can be your enemy. I don't know which she is. Now, the lion is laying there not saying anything. He's not speaking up for himself. You know what? I'm not ready to do this.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Wheeler.
I'm not ready to do this. I got to...
All right, that was Dean Wheeler, and that was a series of remarks delivered to us from the Pike Mall in Northern California. He said he was not ready to do this. I find that most embarrassing. Get him back on the phone, please.
Well, Ms. Gray.
Get him back on the phone, please.
Yeah, Dean, she...
I told you, I can't do it.
Yes, you can. You agreed to come on to the end of the hour. I've got 6 more minutes here. Now talk to me about this lion and this bitch.
I was...
What is wrong with you, Dean?
I'm scared because you're making me say things that I may not believe.
Are you a liberal?
Yes, I am, but that's got nothing to do with it. I think that it's none of my business. I gotta...
I know, you know, it's...
All right, you know what, never mind. I don't need him. I'm Margaret Gray. I apologize. What he has exhibited there, I think, is something that's happening around this issue, and that is that he has sympathy for this young woman, and to be honest with you, I don't know why. She looks like a cheap...
You know, Vernon Dozier.
Vernon Dozier is called... I don't want to talk to Vernon Dozier, please. I don't want to talk to him.
Hello.
Vernon Dozier has called in from Belmar Academy. Vernon, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I want to help you out here, Margaret, if I can. I understand that you have a...
Now, let's just say I don't need any help.
No. Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
All right. You don't need help. Do you mind if I just insert an opinion?
Go right ahead.
All right. This woman here with the rifle, this Melissa Bachman, she shot a lion. Now, I understand that this lion was part of a controlled hunt. That means that the lion had already been captured and was released inside of a 60-square-foot area. So it was already, it was, if you will, the lion was a dead man. It was a dead lion walking, you know.
Dead lion walking. What does that mean?
You've heard a dead man walking?
No, I have not.
Dead man walking is when a guy is on his way to the gas chamber. Or now he's on his way to lethal injection, but he's on his way to die.
You're talking about a prison inmate?
Yes, prison inmate, yeah. And you call it dead man walking. They bring him on through and they'll say, dead man walking. Yeah, boss. Because I remember very vividly when I had been remanded for custody very early on in my life. It was a long time ago, I can tell you that. We were in transit. And I remember saying, standing in the yard out there near Clackerville, and they said, dead man walking, yeah, boss. And everybody just dropped to one knee and bowed, and here comes this guy. And
dropped to one knee and bowed? What are you talking about?
Down doing a dead man walking.
You've never seen a dead man walking?
I don't know. I have never witnessed this phenomenon of a man being led from death row.
Yeah. And we were in transit, and we got off the bus to stretch our legs, and they had some cheese sandwiches for us or something like that. We're up there at Plackerville, and I heard one of the bulls say, dead man walking. And then I heard another bull say, uh-huh. And then from the tower came another one going, woo. You know, they make a lot of noises, you know. And here comes now this guy, and everybody dropped down like the Emperor of China's coming by. And
well, did you?
No, I didn't know what the hell was going on. Everybody except me. I'm standing there eating a cheese sandwich. I don't know.
All right, well, that's an interesting story. Thank you very much, Vernon, for that. Basically, what he was trying to say was that the dead man walking phenomenon, not unlike what happened to this lion that was in this controlled area, was a dead lion walking. You see what I'm saying? So that was what he was trying. I think that's asinine.
You know, I think the show's getting away from you.
No, it's not. No, you haven't heard anything yet. I'm all over this like white on rice. I'll be back. I'm Margaret Gray. This is The Phil Henry Show.
You didn't walk it up to the post.
We'll be right back. Yes, I did walk it to the post. Well, almost.